When Brother Brian called me and asked me about preaching tonight, I took it very serious. I wanted to take some time and pray and try to make sure everything was as right as it could be in my life before coming up here and standing up here and hopefully bringing some word to you that will help. By the way, Brother Brian, I know that you weren't able to make it Sunday morning for our Sunday morning service. We had a guest speaker. His name was Bob also. It's been hinted that we may have even been some relation. You see the resemblance? Yes. Well, hopefully I'm not going to have a mustache malfunction during ours. I believe that's what it was. I believe it was a malfunction. A preacher is a teacher. And a good teacher learns when he is studying and when teaching. And I can tell you already, studying and getting ready for this, I've learned a lot. And my conscience and God, family and friends have all pointed fingers at me for some of the things I've brought up and said, you need to be the first one to listen to some of these. So as we're going through this, a lot of this I'm going to be putting towards myself. So just take that with a grain of salt as we go along. I wanted this to be a help for Christians in their everyday walk. The title that I was going to use is A Christian Hitchhiker's Guide to the Earthly Life. My wife didn't like that title, said it was too long, and hitchhiking, that might give a wrong impression to the kids that they need to go out there and do some hitchhiking. I tried convincing her that our pastor had done that when he was younger, but that just didn't leave it. So I'm going to go with the title of Help Along the Way. And that might be a little easier to put on the CD back there also. The first thing that we're going to run into is getting along with others in our daily walk of life. And the others that I'm referring to are those that are not Christians, the ones that we run into when we go to work, when we leave the safety of the church, because we're here as pilgrims. This is not our home. Physically, we were born here. Spiritually, to be a Christian, we were born here, but we have another home that we need to go to, and we're looking forward to that. In a hitchhiker's guide, one of the things that they try to do is to help you out, let you know what the locals expect, rules and things to look out for, and to help you along your path. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. How do others look at Christians? What do the locals think about Christians? They're the locals. We're the pilgrims here. If we looked at TVs and movies, I know that is influenced by Hollywood, by the media. It's propaganda. But they are a reflection of our society at the time that they are made. If we go back in history and look at TV 40 to 50 years ago, and then we look at what is on TV today, there's a lot of difference. At the 40-plus years ago, we had TV shows, and some of y'all may not have ever heard of any of these, and others grew up with them, and others are watching them on reruns on TV. We had shows like Father Knows Best. We had Dragnet, had Adam 12. I expected to get an amen out of the front row here on that one. Leave It to Beaver, those kind of shows. And these shows, there were references to Christmas, there was references to church, and doing the right thing. Many of the shows, that was the theme. somebody was shown something, and they could make a right choice or a wrong choice. Dads were the head of the house and could be counted on having the right advice when needed. I'm already seeing some elbows going on over there. My wife's are not long enough, or she'd be elbowing me on this one. Most wives / moms stayed at home. Some were just getting into the women's lib movement about 40 years ago. Things were starting to change. They showed that Americans, for the most part, believed in God. You might be Jewish, you might be Catholic, you might be Protestant, but you believed in God. And as a whole, people were good and most went to church. Now that's what we saw. If you go back and you look at some of the older stuff, and just as a side note, we're not Protestant. Okay? You have to be part of something to protest something. And we never were part of the Catholic Church. Also, 40 years ago, I know there's some generational gaps here, but 40 years ago, my parents were looking at what was on TV and thinking it was a bad influence. Today, we're searching the channels and trying to find these shows to show to our kids, because that's better than what's on TV right now. It's sort of like the analogy about a frog in a pot. A lot of y'all are familiar with that. It's just slowly getting a little worse and a little worse, and we don't notice it. What others see and think about Christians today, as influenced by TV and movies today, today, dads are shown as idiots. Moms run the household, or even the kids. If you disagree with me, or even if you do agree with me, pay attention to news interviews. If you watch the news, the 10 o'clock news, whatever time, watch how they interview. Most interviews are with the wife / mom. And if the husband / dad is there, he says nothing. Why is that? Yeah. 15 or 20 years ago, shows started coming out like Married with Children, King of Queens. And they started bombarding the airwaves with this kind of garbage. And then there's a whole other section that I despise for other reasons. And that's adult cartoons on TV. The Simpsons, Family Guy. If I'm stepping on your toes, I'm sorry. But they are a big part of the moral decay of America. And they come on TV on Sunday nights. What an amazing time to have them on TV. Let's put a cartoon on that we know the kids are going to watch, and let's bring the level of it up just above the kids so we can throw in as much garbage as we can, and let's make the dad look like an idiot and try to take apart the family as God wants it to be in His Bible. Now, we have verses in the Bible that show us that God wants the husband to be the head of the household. If you look with me in Ephesians chapter 5, and I know the women are already going, oh boy, here we go again. In Ephesians chapter 5, if we drop down to verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We joke and kid about our wives running the household. But I'm afraid a lot of us do it, including myself. It may not be all the way across the board, but in many different ways. And sometimes it isn't letting them, it's us not doing the job, and the job has to be done. So they have no choice but to pick it up and do it. I told y'all that I'm bringing a lot of this on myself here. If you fall under this banner, jump in with me. If not, just sit there and listen, okay? Head does not mean master, as in a master-slave relationship. Nor does it mean a relationship like a general is to a private, as in the military. It is more like a partnership where one is the leader, guide, and director. Now, if you'll consider this with me, can you think of any decision that a husband would make without first consulting or at least considering how it's going to affect his wife? I cannot. But I wind up doing it a lot. If we go back to the movies and TV and stuff 40 years ago, homosexuality was taboo, was not mentioned. A little over 30 years ago, it started inching its way into TV. Now, first of all, when it first came in, let's set it over here to the side and let's all laugh at it. Let's make it a little more comfortable. If we all laugh at it, then we know about it, and then as we want to progress and move along, then it's easier. Instead of just bringing it in, like throwing that frog into hot water versus putting that frog in cool water and warming the water up. Now we're up to so many degrees on that pot of water. We're up to the degree that if you do not accept it, you're wrong and full of hatred. TV shows like Law and Order, SVU. Now, I know there's a lot of y'all out here that do not watch TV, and there's a lot of y'all out there that do. And please forgive me, I'm trying to bring this across the board to everybody. But in a lot of those shows like that, first of all, the whole purpose of it is to infuriate, to point out something and get people upset, mad, and willing to do something. But on that show, I have seen where they'll run across a crime, and the crime was committed against a homosexual, and they're going out investigating and trying to find the perpetrator. And any time there's a Christian or a Christian group involved in it, well, it must have been them because they all believe that homosexuals are going to hell. And that is the message they keep throwing out there. So as a hitchhiker going through life, you need to understand that there's a lot of people out there that's what they think. But what do we think? How do we feel about them? Well, the way I see it, sin is sin. Whether it be drunkenness, stealing, murder, lying, or sodomy. The problem that we run into with these people is they want to come to church and they want to stay the same. They want to walk in here and they want to continue to live their life the way they do. Or they want to scream and holler and say, "We're not welcome." We should treat them like any other sinner. As my wife mentioned while going over these notes, she said, it's like anybody, you want to get them in church. You want to get them saved. You want to get them changed. Would we allow an openly gay person to come into this church? I would say that we would, but we would expect them to change. The old saying, come as you are, but leave changed. When someone asks you, why does your church not allow an openly gay couple to continue to go to church? They come in and they're just going to continually live in their sin. You can ask them, would you want a drunk to keep coming to your house or to your church in a drunken state? How about a murderer? Somebody that you know has committed murder and is going to continue committing murder. Say a hired hitman. Comes to church on Sunday and goes out Monday and kills somebody. We know that we should not allow open sin in our congregation. If y'all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul had to deal with one who had an open sin and would not turn from it. The whole chapter of 5 deals with that. I'm going to skip across it a couple of times here. In chapter 1, the first part of the verse, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Jump down to verse 5. To deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. The reason for pushing that person out of church was not to punish them. That was not to damn them to hell. That was to put them out there and remove them from the safety of the church, to let the devil deal with that person with the hopes and intentions that that person would turn from that and come back repented. In verse 9, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. That's pretty plain right there. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one know not to eat. In other words, no fellowship. Then you're going to have some that's going to say, well, is homosexuality a sin? There are a lot of churches out there that have taken verses and they've twisted around and they said, well, really, it's not a sin. It's a lifestyle and it's this and it's that. We have verses on it. I'm not going to read each one of them, but I'll mention them here. In Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, 6:10, Romans 1:26. It goes on and on. It is sin. But then again, TV is sort of like the devil. It takes scripture and twists it to make its point. Homosexuals are sinners, and sinners go to hell. If God is love, how can this be? Well, Jesus loved all sinners. Homosexuals are no more sinners than anyone else, but they are also no less sinners either. They don't deserve a separate spot or separate consideration because they claim... Okay? The devil misquoted Scripture. In Genesis 3, verse 3, the devil is speaking, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, well, he's quoting God directly here, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, in my Bible, it does not say anything about touching it. In Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, may freely eat. And then verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And this was talking about a spiritual death. Nowadays on TV and movies, most show that people do not go to church and everyone is afraid of offending someone else. That is anyone but Christians. There is a movement going on in the world that it is to get all of us to coexist. I don't know if any of y'all have seen the bumper stickers. It took me the longest to figure it out, what it said. I had to look at them real close. They've got the different religious symbols spelling out coexist. To be able to get some of those people all in one room would be a disaster, in my opinion. Why is it that whenever we start a football game, we can't start it with a prayer? We can have a moment of silence. And where is my nativity scene? I grew up seeing nativity scenes on courthouse lawns. You go all through South Texas and they were everywhere. Last Christmas time frame, it was mid-December, I was down in Gatesville and went through the line at McDonald's, and they had a poster out there stating that they were going to be closed for a certain length of time so that they could have a holiday party. Well, that was my first clue when they used holiday instead of a Christmas party. I drove up to the window, and the girl handed me my change, and I said, well, Merry Christmas. And she just, say Merry Christmas. I can't do that. I'll be fired if I say that. I said, well, I won't ever be back to this McDonald's. And I have been down to Gatesville many times since then, and I do not go to that McDonald's. This country was founded on the freedom of religion, not the freedom from religion, as most people try to quote it. When our founding fathers came over, it was to get away from government-ran religion. Boy, they try to do the separation of church and state over the least little thing. Again, they're taking it and twisting it. The government-ran religion was the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church. In England, the king or the queen, at this time, the queen, is the head of the church. Can you imagine if Obama was the head of our church? That was why they came over here. And they did not come over here for all religions. They came over here for Christianity. They did not plan on this country having Muslims and Hindus practicing their religion and denying the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. While trying to do some research for this, I wanted to talk more about the Muslim religion of Islam, but God kept pushing me away from that. But while I was doing the research for it, I watched a film that was filmed by an American self-professed Muslim showing Islam and what Islam is about, and about them going on their sacred fifth pillar journey to Mecca. Well, they had one that was reading the Quran in there, and he was reading it in English, and I just busted out laughing listening to it. Because in the Quran, I was not aware of this, in the Quran, in the story that he was telling, Abraham, God stopped Abraham from sacrificing Ishmael and provided another sacrifice for him. They can't even get that straight. I was aware of the Palestinian lineage from Ishmael, but I did not realize that they have literally taken Isaac out of it. For us to get along with anyone else that does not believe the way we are is not prejudice, it is not hatred. It is we cannot stand shoulder to shoulder with anyone else that does not believe in the same God that we believe in. Allah Akbar, God is great. Those words are wonderful. But they're not talking about the same God. And many of these other religions, when they talk about, Catholics talk about being saved, it's not the same salvation. That's why we have to separate ourselves from these people. But we also need to learn where they're coming from to know how to react to what they're saying. They're trying to tell us a lot of times what we believe, and if we don't know what we believe, they've got us. They'll even get us to doubting. We need to know what we believe. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, very familiar verse. Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. And I'm sorry, someone that believes that cows are sacred while their people are starving to death, and people who believe that Muhammad, even in their own religion, that Muhammad deserves more respect than God does, we cannot stand shoulder to shoulder with these people. And that's our first point. Before we go on to point two, let's look at what we've covered. If you're a dad or a husband, man up and be the head of the house. If your family is being interviewed for some reason, be part of it. It may be an interview about her. It may be about the kids. But be there and be part of that family. If someone tries to say or ask if Christians hate homosexuals, explain to them that it is a sin and that we hate sin, not the sinner. If someone wants to have a Muslim or a Hindu as a speaker for an event, at least remind them when they say God, that's a lowercase g. They're not referring to God with an uppercase. Our second point is going to be interacting with authorities in our life. That would be like that hitchhiker's guide telling you where to look out for the law. In Mark chapter 12, verse 17, again, another very familiar verse, Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. How can we as Christians find ourselves under subjection to the laws of the land? Shouldn't we just tell the government that we don't want to have anything to do with them and let's go buy us a compound over here and let's fortify it? I'm getting excited about this. And live off the grid, as one saying? there are a lot that wind up going that route. But I think it's pretty plain here that unless it's going directly against God's will or what is in the Bible, that we ought to adhere as best we can to man's law. He also wants us to obey the one that's put in authority over us in our Christian walk. Brother Brian wants me to wear a tie. I have many reasons why I don't want to wear a tie. He offered me a position here as the assistant to the Sunday school director and asked me to pray about it. And it's a position that I want. And he said, well, there's just one thing. You're going to have to wear a tie. Now, pride was one of the very first things to sit there and say, he's got to be kidding. Who is he to tell me what to do? I'm a grown man. Wait a minute, I'm the head of the house. Remember, that's back here on some of these other notes. No, we do what he wants. Unless he is telling us to do something that is not in the Scripture. Now, I haven't found the tie yet, but I'm still looking. I'm going to find verses against it eventually. I'm joking. By the way, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, I'd tell him no if he asked me to do something I didn't want to do. Well, the problem is on you, but this is the same as telling God no. And sometimes we don't understand why. I understand why he wants me to wear a tie. But sometimes he may ask me to do something that I don't understand at all. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. I've always wondered about that. How would I feel if I went out there and I risked my life bring that water, and he pours it out on the ground? I don't know why he's pouring it out on the ground. We know reading the Scriptures, but I don't know if they knew or not. Why did they go get the water to begin with? Did he tell them to? Because they could see that God was with David. And they could also see that King David followed God. And he had a desire. And they wanted to fulfill that desire for him. You notice they didn't go tell him that they were going to go do it either. That, I think, falls under that let's ask for forgiveness instead of permission. But now, if you're also sitting there and asking yourself about me, do I ever question what Brother Brian tells me to do or what he preaches? I'm going to have to tell you yes with the Word of God. He's a human being. He stands here. He's responsible for what he says and what he does. But if he starts preaching stuff that's not right, how am I going to know it? Line it up with the Word. And if it's wrong, don't stand up there and scream and holler it from the pulpit, from the pew, and don't run over and talk to four or five of your friends. Go to him. And he might show you where you're wrong, or he might look at it and say, I was wrong. It has happened to preachers in the past. I don't know if it's happened to Brother Brian. It hasn't happened with me and him, I assure you. Part two is a short one, but it ought to be. Authority, follow it. Okay, first of all, we went over how others look at Christians. And then two, how we should obey the authorities in our life. Number three is our relationship with God. First of all, we're going to have to be Christians. If we are Christians, then He saved our life. Is that a pretty fair statement? In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one of the verses we've been going over quite a bit here, especially on Thursday nights. If we are Christians, then God wants to communicate with us. How does He do that? First of all, we have to want to. Then, through listening to preaching and reading His Word, we communicate back with Him through prayer. If we do these things and we do what we're asked, baptism, tithing, etc., He'll bless us. I mean, this is simple, basic Sunday school 101. But what happens when we don't do these things? I've got a little analogy I want to use. I'm telling you up front that this is fictitious. It never did happen. But the story of Ray and Bob. Ray and Bob were in the military. Bob is one of the new replacements in Ray's unit. And Ray and Bob are overseas fighting for our country. Bob is assigned to Ray's unit. Ray's his sergeant. They're going on a patrol. They're going house to house, and they're checking, looking for the enemy. When Bob's looking the other way, for whatever reason, Ray notices a bad guy fixing to step out and shoot Bob. Ray handles the situation, saves Bob's life. Bob's like, okay, thanks. A couple of days later, they're on patrol again, and they're inside a big building, and they're going along. There's hallways, and there's doors, and there's dark, and there's light, and there's this, and there's that, and there's stuff everywhere. And Bob's just fixing to hit a tripwire. But where Ray's standing, glint of light hits it, and he sees it. He tells Bob, stop. They get EOD in there, and they check it out. Man, if you'd have tripped that, that'd have blown this whole building up and killed everybody. Wow. Thanks. Now, what has Ray done? He saved Bob's life more than once. They get back. They finish that portion of the tour. They get pushed back to an area. We would have had a MWR, morale, a welfare area, recreation, heavily fortified, few comforts of home. You'd have a Baskin Robbins and a Subway, and you'd have rec areas where you'd have ping pong tables and pool tables and check out movies and watch them, all this kind of stuff. And Ray says, hey, Bob, let's go grab an ice cream. No, that's all right. I've got some friends I want to talk to over here, and we're going to go play some pool. No? Okay. Well, we get paid. That time of the month comes around, we've got money. I'm going to take a lot of that money, and I'm going to send it home to my family. And I'm going to keep a little bit of it to spend here for my own enjoyment. Ray's doing the same thing. A lot of other guys are doing the same thing. But something happens before I get that money sent home. It gets stolen, gets lost. Since it's a fictitious story, gets lost in a poker game, whatever. That money's gone. Ray says, hey, I know you got a family, I've got a family, but I'm going to let you have some of my money. I'm going to split some of it with you here. Because I know if you don't have money for a month, it's going to be rough on your family. Take some of this money. Okay, thanks. We finish our tour and we wind up going back. We go to Fort Hood. We're on base housing. And just how it works out, Ray and I are living next door to each other. I mean, how convenient. We're next door to one another. Ray and his family, me and my family. Ray says, hey, we're going to have a barbecue Saturday. Why don't you come over, bring the kids, man. It'll be great. Yeah, at 4 o'clock during prayer meeting. We're going to have this wonderful deal. Just bring your family. You know, everything's covered. You don't have to bring anything. Well, actually, me and the wife and the kids, we were going to go down to the lake. Okay. Ray's been a pretty nice guy so far, hadn't he? Hadn't been pushy. He hadn't argued. He hadn't got mad. There's been a lot of things he could get mad about. Well, unbeknownst to Bob, before Bob got in the unit, Ray done something real outstanding. Outstanding enough to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. Times went on, and they've discussed it, and they're going to give it to him. So they ship him and his family off to Washington, D.C. so that he can get that medal. Well, here's this reporter, Geraldo, who's always looking for just the unique, different story. I'm going to go see the guy that lives next door to Ray. Bound to be able to give me some information about Ray. You live next door to Ray. Yeah, man, isn't he a wonderful guy? Yep, he sure is. Did you hear he won the Congressional Medal of Honor? He's famous. Everybody knows his name. Yeah. Well, you know him, don't you? Yeah, we served together in the military. Wow, bet you've got some real good stories. Yeah, he actually saved my life. Oh, great. Well, tell me more about him. What kind of ice cream does he like? Oh, well, I really don't know. Well, y'all live next door to each other. I'm sure you've been to his house. Well, I've been invited. Me and my family, yeah, we've been invited, but we haven't gone. How would that make Ray feel? To be treated like that over and over and over again. Isn't that what we do to God on a lot of times? Got a little disclaimer here. The following comments do not necessarily reflect the views of this station. Now, I've heard that before. Christian life. Get in or get out. In closing here, how do others look at Christians? We need to know that so that we know how to react to them. How to show them what a true Christian is, not what they see on TV. 2, how we should obey the authorities put over us. And the 3rd is how to have a good relationship with God.